Okay, we're learning Ayeka on page Nun. Chet Adam Arishan Shichas Ha'atzmius on page Nun. There are many, many explanations found in the Mefarshim and the Svarim to try to understand what happened with Adam and Chava. But to try to understand the shoresh, the root of that chet of Adam and Chava, because it's something that it's with us all the time. Since it's the shoresh of that downfall of man, so in our lives it remains that shoresh of each and every one of our struggles to do the right thing. There's that shoresh, that root that hasn't been completely fixed, that hasn't been repaired. And what is that? Omnam ha'adam olu l'shkoches atzma. L'shkoches atzma, the person forgets himself. The person forgets who he really is, forgets himself. L'sa'alem mimi shuhu. To ignore who he really is. U'l'nasos l'hatik es chayem shalachem. Man is always trying to imitate others, to somehow live the lives of other people who are not him. This is the loss of Tmimus. We've been talking about the Midah of Tomim Tiyam Hashem Lokecha, Tmimus. The loss of innocence. Again, innocence is not an accurate translation, but it's Tmimus. Hamaral Masbir ki zeh yachet shel Adam Arishon. The Maral explains that this was the underlying chet of Adam Arishon. Shebikish la'atzmo davar she'eino shayach lo be'emes. That's in the first parak of the Nesivas Olam, the Nesiv HaTmimus. The Maral is explaining the midah of Tmimus, and he says that Adam was bikish la'atzmo davar she'eino shayach lo be'emes. He was looking for something that wasn't shayach to him. It wasn't him. Ubem is shorish kol ha'eskachasus ha'atzmis. And in truth, the shorish of this whole oblivion that one has to oneself, it's oblivious to who he is, who she is. A denial of the self, a complete distortion of one's self-image. And that possibility that a person can live his life, her life, seeking the opposite of who he or she is. All of that is mushosh b'cheta kadmaini. The source of all of that is the chet of Adam and Chava. We saw that Rav Kook describes as listening to a voice outside of yourself. The snake was that voice outside of themselves. Listening to a voice outside of your own voice. It's not your own voice. That's the shorash of chet. Amaral malamed she'adam arishon pogam b'midas ha'tamimus. And the Maral says this, that Adam Arishon was pogam. This was the pogam that he damaged this midah of Tmimus. Ki kfishin is bar. Ha-Tmimus hi ha-midah bo ha-odah m'chubu l'mash n'osn b'Hashem. As we've been learning, Tmimus is the midah. When a person, the midah of Tmimus is a person being attached, being connected, l'mash n'osn b'Hashem, to that which Hashem has given him, to who he is, to his own koiches, to understanding his own issues, his own chesroinus. V'enu mevakesh dover mechutz la'atzmusa. The person is not looking, not to look for something that's outside of your own atzmius. Chutz me'atzmacha, outside of yourself. Not listening to any snake, even if it seems to be very, very friendly and nice snake. It's still a snake. The hepech ha-tmimus hi ha-begida. And the word to describe the opposite of tamimus is begida. Begida means treason. It means to bogate, begida. It means to be a traitor. It means unfaithful. Treason. That's the opposite of tamimus. To be unfaithful. To be unfaithful to you, to yourself. To who you are. And mimela, you don't really have a kesher with Hashem. Kemaim Rakosov, it says in Mishlei, Tumas Yesharim Tanchem V'Selef Bogdim Yeshadim. So the Pasuk sets up these two opposite types of the Tom, of the Tom, the Yashar, and the Bogade. The English is Tumas Yesharim Tanchem, the Tmimus of the just, of the Yesharim will guide them, Tanchem will guide them. Selef Bogdim Yeshadim, the corruption of the Bogdim. They translate it in English as the faithless. Faithless. The corruption of the faithless, Yeshadim will destroy them. Tumas Yesharim, Selef Bogdim. Behind them. Shalakol mida yesh mida hafachislo. For every mida in kedusha, there's the opposing mida in tumah. There's the opposite mida. The diktekem haral mina pasuk, and the maral explains this pasuk. Shehefach hatmimus, that the opposite of tmimus is hi habegida. The opposite of tmimus is begida. Now, of course, you see the word beged, and all the svarim talk about that. Begida, faithlessness, treason. The word beged, to be boged, beged means a garment. It means that you're dressed up as somebody else. You're wearing somebody else's outfit. That's faithlessness. You're making believe. It's a costume. They say that every Friday night in all the chassidim and all the visitors and everybody would line up by the Beis Yisrael, by the Ger Rebbe, after davening, to wish him a good Shabbos. And there were thousands of people, and it took a long time. All good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Everybody passed by, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. And I mean, he didn't shake it, but he said good Shabbos to everybody. They would, if you've ever been there, like they run by good Shabbos, good Shabbos. And there was this one fellow that he decides to start to wear a bekush and a strimel or a spadik, whatever he put on. And he ran by the Beis Yisrael, and the Beis Yisrael said, "Feich Pirim." Why should you know that story? A Feich Pirim. Because the Rebbe has nothing against a Jew wearing a spadik and a bekush. That's how they dress. But he knew that this guy wasn't bechlal, not in that he wasn't holding with that at all. He had a lot bigger things to worry about than what he was wearing. So there's a certain begida. The Rebbe was giving me a little bit of to remind him that to be faithful to who you are. That's not who you are now, right now. That's not your inyan right now, and you're getting off track. That's the begida is begid. Uba meha adam baige, the top line of Nun Aleph. And who's this person being unfaithful to? And who's he? Committing treason against? The answer is Ba'atzmo, himself. Shemisalim ha'ayfiyav imi'ayram yichodim. Because he's ignoring his own personality, his own character, who he is, and his own or. His own or, his own light. U'mevakesh es chelkom shel acher. I got word from Eretz Yisrael that Rav Schwartz, the Bilvavi now, has a new sefer called Da'es Chalkecha. Da'es Chalkecha. It's probably this Indian. Because this is what's burning now before Mashiach. I'm assuming it. I didn't see the sefer yet. But da es chelkecha. That's what this is about. Hamaral melamed shadoviz ha'atzmo hu shemesavev es hamoves shenigzeval adam rishon. Remember that meisis, the opposite, the letters are tam, reversed. So what brought death to the world? And this is what's killing us. Even if you're healthy and well, but it's what's killing us. The Gzeres Mavzal Mishnah Shalom HaTam is the Hepech of Hameis. The letter is Tav Mem. is the opposite of tum and meis are two opposites. In other words, the loss of tmimus brings to misa. That's what the word is telling us. When you lose your tmimus, you die. Again, that doesn't mean chas v'shalom that you leave the world, but you as a person, who you are, you're gone. You're gone. That's no longer you. It's somebody you're pretending to be, but it's not you. So the real person, who you are, you could say kaddish for. That person is gone. And who's this person? It's an imposter. It's somebody else. It's an imposter. It's a shade. Whatever it is, it's not you. The real you has died. That's what happened by the chet of Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava, they ate from the tree. They didn't die. It says, B'yom ha'chal chumim, and it says that when you eat from the tree, you're going to die. So the Ramban, all the Mefarshim talk about this. They ate from the tree, and they were fine. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. One of my grandchildren, when she was little, so the mother was telling her, my daughter was telling her to make a bracha or something, and she was generally good, and she did make a bracha. She forgot to make a bracha, and then she said to her mother, nothing happened to me. I said, oh, yeah, it's the beginning, like, you know, nothing happened to me. So Adam Rishon and Chava, they ate from the tree, and nothing happened. Akasha. So why is it saying the Torah? The Baruch Shalom says, Maestro Musa, you're going to die. Doesn't mean, so this, the pshat is that you will become a mortal being. No, it doesn't mean you're going to drop dead. But you will become, instead of somebody that can live forever, you're going to become someone who you know that is mortal. You'll be a bar misa, a ben misa. But on a deeper level, it means that a loss of innocence, a loss of yourself. That's what the innocence and the beauty of a child is, that the child is himself, the child is herself. And of course, they learn how to imitate and impersonate, and they learn that in order to survive, you got to play the game. But before they play the game, there's that tamimus, and they can live forever. Live forever doesn't mean they're going to live past 120, but it means they'll be alive. And alive means to be yourself. So when Hashem Mizbach told Adam and Chava, when you eat from the tree, you're going to die, it doesn't mean that they're going to die. It means that the person who I created has died. You listen to a voice outside, the snake, and you lost yourselves. And therefore that sweet, innocent Adam and Chava that I created has died. You're not here anymore. Somebody else is here. It's not you. And tshuva means to come back. Baruch Hashem, we have tshuva. And tshuva means you can come back to life. You could return. You could come out of that mace and become a tum. You could regain that lost innocence, that lost tmimus. That's what tshuva is, to return to yourself, to come back to yourself. I remember once when my Siri was a little girl, so she wrote a long note to her mother about. And with everything, you know, how the little children are spelling all funny, crazy stuff. And she was writing about how she said that I didn't talk nice, or I didn't say something nice. I can't remember. She was always, I don't remember, but she said, I didn't talk nice. And that old Suri is gone, and the new Suri is here. And that's tshuva. That knows that Suri that messed up is gone, and here's the new Suri is here. And that's it. That's the whole story. Here, meaning that the original person, that's what tshuva is, to return to oneself. Right? And the Shlomo had the words, return to who you are. Return to who you are. Right? Again and again. Return to who you are. Return to who you are. Is a beautiful, beautiful song from Raz Hartman, Hashiveinu. He sang it when, remember a few months ago, the Chav that we had? And he sang it on request, even though I asked him to sing. It's the most beautiful song, Shivena. That's what the whole thing of Hashivena. In order to be able to return to Hashem, you have to return to who you are. Return to who you are. Ki chiyuso shel adam bo mitoch nishmosa v'atzmus ha'pnimis. Because a person's life means your life is the neshama and the atzmus of who you are. That's your neshama. That's what gives you life. Uchsh adam mis'alem u'misnatek mi'atzmo. And when the person ignores himself and is detached from himself, meha ani hanishmasi shabo, from the ani hanishmasi, v'nischof achve olam shalachem, and he's swept away by the worlds of other people, olam shalachem, he's drawn after, he's swept away by olam shalachem. So he's taking himself away from his neshama, which is the makor chayv, which means he's died. He's biologically, he's breathing, he's alive, but he's died. This is one of the things that we see with the wrong use of medication, especially, you know, I talk about this a lot, especially what they're doing with children that are not behaving according to the standard of that particular teacher, which I always have said that instead of giving shots to 18 children out of the 30 in class, if you would just give one shot to the teacher, everything would be okay. You could save yourself a lot of money, a lot of trouble, and you wouldn't be killing these kids. The kids are supposed to have a good time. They're supposed to be, labor they can get in trouble. They're kids, they're children. That's a healthy thing for children. But the Rebbe can't deal with it because he needs a shot. It'd be much easier. Every morning they should begin like that. Somebody, a doctor comes in, gives this guy a shot, and the kids could have a good time. Rebbe will be happy, and he'll sit there and let the Rebbe be like that instead of the kid, because the kids, half the kids are sitting there all drugged up, or else they'll say, "I'm sorry, your child can't hear. You know, we have to speak to the therapist, unless your child is getting in that, so we can't have your child in the school anymore." And that's it. Again, I understand sometimes it's not possible, and there are exceptions to that, but there's a lot more going on of that stuff than should be going on. It's because the teachers can't handle it, the school can't handle it. Some other kid's mother called up that, you know, your Maishi's bothering my baruchel, and you better give him a shot, and that's it. And then you have this, comes to this, so Rebbe can be happy. So Rebbe is all labor to keep prepared his class. The problem is it's a whole cemetery in front of him. So everybody's getting medication, so they're all sitting there, and Rebbe's saying, Rebbe's baruchel, kim shamayim esaros. But at least they behave. Everybody's behaving nice. You take away the neshama of the kid, of who the kid is. You give him a shot and you make him into somebody else. You take away his neshama. Again, I understand that there's a need and there are times, but it's not as much as what's going on. There's more teachers and parents and rabbis. It's an avoidance of becoming patient and tolerant. I'm not saying it's easy, but the last resort is to medicate a kid. It's like the last thing to do is to medicate a kid. You become separated from the makar of who you are. What would it have been if, like, Rabbi Chaim Brisker was a big troublemaker when he was a kid? Could you imagine if they would have put him on stuff? What would have happened, Rabbi Chaim Brisker? It wouldn't have been Rabbi Chaim Brisker. They say he was impossible to deal with. I don't know how true that is, and it might be it's exaggerated. They say he was very, very wild. You know, these geniuses, a lot of them were wild. You think the Rogachev sat at the table with his like this? You look in his eyes, you look at the pictures, he was a wild man. No, he was, in holiness, he was a... You know, the Rebbe would have said, in Cheder, by the first year Rebbe, Mrs. Rosen, I have to tell you something, your son's not going to succeed. What's the matter? He doesn't sit still, he's walking back and forth in the middle of the class. You ever have that in the class, if you're a Rebbe, you have it. He starts walking back and forth in the middle of the class. He can't sit still. He can't sit still because his mind doesn't stop moving and his body can't contain those thoughts. So he's moving. So Mrs. Rosen, we can't allow little Yosselet to come back. That's the Rogachev's name, was Yosef Rosen. We can't allow Yosselet to come back unless, we need to have a note from the psychiatrist that he's getting proper medication. We had an evaluation. The evaluation shows that he has the following Rosh HaTevis. And because of all of those Rosh HaTevis, so he can't sit in the classroom. Think of the greatest, some of the greatest geniuses of the past century. I don't mean the past century, the 20th century. Think of them and where they went to school. Can I just run a few names by you? Where did Lubavitch Rebbe go to school? What yeshiva did he attend, Lubavitch Rebbe? He did not go in any yeshiva. He went to Cheder when he was a little boy. He went to Cheder as a little boy. After that, he wasn't enrolled in Tamchei Tamima. No. Where did Rav Soloveitchik, Lubavitch Rebbe's friend, where did he go to yeshiva, Rav Soloveitchik?
His father.
Rav Yosher Ben never went to yeshiva. Where did Rav Moshe Feinstein go to yeshiva? He went to cheder. For a short time, he was learning not Rebbe Prezhana. He was learning with an Adam Godlike, the second I can't remember. For he heard some shiurim. Rav Moshe Feinstein never got a report card. Rav Moshe did not go to yeshiva. And the list goes on. You ever see any graduation picture of the Rogatchev?
Yeshiva is recent, relatively speaking, in Jewish history. No,
there was a fascinating thing that I noticed in an article. There was an Adam Godel, a big tzaddik that was nifta last week in Eretz Yisrael. Edelstein was a big chashuv person. He was a big talmid chacham. He was 100 years old. So the article was going on and on about how Reb Gershon, his brother also, Reb Yaakov, died a few years ago. He was also a big tzaddik, Reb Yaakov. And they grew up in a place called Ramat HaSharon, which is where Rav Sasson lives. It's the yeshivas. And they grew up in Ramat HaSharon. It's a whole story why they ended up over there. Their father was a huge Talmud Chacham. They got out of Europe before Hitler, Baruch Hashem. And they came to Eretz Yisrael, and they were poor, poor, poor. They lived in a chicken coop, in a big chicken coop. That's the only place they had to live in those when they first came. Afterwards, they got some kind of a place. And they didn't in that moshav, Ramat HaSharon was like a little dust town. There was no yeshiva. So in the moshav, the father learned with them. The father was a big Talmud Chacham. The father raised these two brilliant boys. The father raised them, but it was at some point it's important to be in another in yeshiva or something, and so the boys went and they met the Chazon Ish. They went to Bnei Brak and they met Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish said don't put them into yeshiva. They went to the Brisker Rav in Yerushalayim. The Brisker Rav said don't put them in yeshiva. And finally, when they're 18, so just being with other people, being with other boys, so again the father brought them to the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish loved them very much, and the Chazon Ish spoke to them in Torah and learning a lot, and the Chazon Ish said to the boys, he said, make sure that you have to go to yeshiva because you have to be with people. Go to yeshiva, but please try hard that the yeshiva shouldn't ruin you. Shouldn't ruin your, your way of, your father gave you a way of thinking, a way of learning, and that the yeshiva shouldn't ruin you. So that was one thing that he brought down in this article. Then there was another thing that he brought down in the article about that the tremendous ahavas Yisrael that Reb Gershon had, that he was a very, very loving and understanding person, and these people come in with being very strict that my kid doesn't go to shul, and he would say, Lazim, just love the kid, it's okay. So the article goes on to say, where did he get that from? That love of all, and also anybody would come to him, religious, not religious, kippah suga, shrimal, everybody was happy with every Jew. So where did he get that from? So the answer is because he grew up in a moshav with all these farmers, Yemenites, and this one, Syrians and Ashkenazim and religious, not religious, Ramat HaSharon wasn't a religious place. and he grew up with all these Jews, so therefore he's an Amcha, you know. Again, because he wasn't in the firm world. That's why he has such a habit as well. So I would write a letter to this person and say, but you know, what you wrote in this article is very dangerous. Essentially what you're saying is, if you want to save your kid and make him into a big Talmud Chacham and to someone who loves Jews, keep him home. Keep him away. That's what the message, the author never meant that. But he was saying, wow, what a Habis Yisrael. How did he come to such a Habis Yisrael? The answer is, he was never in an institution. How was he such a big Lamdan? In other words, how was he such a creative thinker? You know, he taught Bachem, 17-year-old Bachem. He wasn't, till his last month, he was teaching. He didn't go with fancy, in Panovich, he wasn't giving the Shia, you know, for the older guys. He was giving the young guys the Bachem. If you want your kid to be humble and to grow up loving every Jew, keep him away. That was like the message of the article. It's such an interesting thing. So of course, that's not a condemnation, God forbid, of the yeshivas, and how kids have to go to schools, have to go to yeshivas, but it is a ha'ara that's important to remember. That the point of the yeshiva of any institution is not to take away the soul of a kid. It's to nurture the soul of a child. Just as parents. You're going to want every kid to be the same? Every kid to be the same. I had a whole mice a few weeks ago. There was a brother from the community who was saying, there was a whole thing because she came with a son, they were fighting a lot. So it came that the mother said to the son, it was a whole thing, we're talking and crying and fighting. And then the mother said to the son, he kept on saying that you don't understand me, and who I am. So that's what he was saying. And she didn't. She didn't. She wanted him to be like the older brother. The older brother's perfect, everything. So she wants him to be like that. And we spoke about it. So after this whole thing, the kid's still broken, and the mother's still going after him. And the boy said to the mother that you told Rabbi Weinberger that you were going to let me be, you know, who I am, and that I'm not my older brother. You can let me be who I am. So I asked him, so we did speak about that, you know. So then she said, if I let him be who he wants to be, he's not going to marry the kind of girl we would like him to marry. So I said, maybe he wants to marry a different kind of girl that you don't want him to marry. Maybe that's the girl he would like to marry. But these are conversations that go on all the time. And as parents, I'm guilty of the same thing. We make mistakes like this all the time. Not to hear who the child is. Of course, we have to. We try to guide and direct, and we give our best shot at giving over what we believe in, and the values that we have, and the beliefs that we have. We try, but we have to be so careful not to kill the kid, because that's the loss of Tamimus. That's the loss of Tamimus. And yes, you need to pretend to be somebody so we can get you a certain kind of shidduch, the kind of shidduch that we want. So you need to pretend to be somebody. We said that we're going to lay off of you and we're going to let you be yourself. Yes, but, you know, after you get married. And that's what happens. Mm-hmm. And then you have this nice girl. She marries some guy that was parading as Mr. Ben Taira, right? Oh, yeah. This was going on. Because he had to play the game, because he was told for 10 years, unless you go along with this, unless you present a certain way, you're not going to get the girl. So he tried to present. He tried. And then he gets married. It's very nice. And Shavuot Baruch Hu comes out who he really is. And the girl says, what's going on over here? I didn't... This is not what I expected. I thought my husband goes to shul 3 times a day. I thought my husband learns, you know, every day. I thought my husband has Yiras Shamayim. I didn't know my husband is going to sit, you know, on the video games for movies for 2 hours a day. And that's what they told me in seminary, to marry this nice boy from this night. And my teacher said, yes, this is the right kind of family, the right kind of boy. And it was all a mischak. Mischak, a game. Because the poor guy, he didn't do anything bad. He was just trying to, he was just doing what he was told to do, was to go along. So he's pretending, and it's hard for him. And that's why every now and then it came out. Because you can't pretend like that the whole time. It breaks sometime. So then the Rebbe says, no, but really, 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 he's a good guy. He had like a bit, you know, a difficult month, but he's back on track. There's no. The difficult month was being who he wants to be. He's back off track now from who he really wants to be. And if you would try to work with a person who he really wants to be, he could be a fine Jew. Wouldn't necessarily be exactly the model, you know, that you wanted, but he'd be a fine Jew. Be a fine person. So then you marry this guy off. In the middle of his pretensions, you marry him off. In the middle of the Broadway production, you marry this guy off. And he's Mr. Ben Torah. The next thing he's doing is he's sitting in shul on a Shabbos morning after davening, an hour and a half later, drunk with a couple of guys. And the wife is sitting at home with the food getting cold, wondering what happened to my Talmud Chacham, my Tzaddik, my Ben Torah. What happened to him? He's just back. He's back in his element. He's just back to himself. It didn't have to be that way that he's drunk on a Shabbos morning. It's just he was pretending for a long time, and he broke. And unfortunately, since there was so many games that were going on and so much pretending, and the real person wasn't addressed. The real person wasn't helped. So then he doesn't know what to be when he's 28 and there are three kids that are waiting for Abba to come home for lunch on Shabbos. He doesn't know who he is. So he's just sitting there in shul drinking with a couple of guys. And there are worse things than that too. And then everybody sits from his teachers. What happened to him? What happened to him? He was once upon a time a little boy. And he was under your watch, but you didn't see him. You wanted him to be somebody that you could be proud of, and you wanted to produce a certain type, a certain style, but you wanted to produce. You didn't see the kid, and now you want him. What happened? Drunk. 12:30, 1 o'clock, sitting drunk someplace with a couple of guys in shul, every now and then lifting up their heads to sing as some zmiras. And this is already much better than other things. And the wife sits there. Well, I thought he's a Ben Torah. You never heard of such stories? This didn't have to happen. This didn't have to happen. And of course, there are some guys that shouldn't be sitting at all. Should be sitting for a half hour, 45 minutes in the classroom, and they shouldn't be sitting at all. I'm not talking about when you're in sixth grade or something. But when you are, they shouldn't be in the classroom. What happened to him? And he could learn Torah. And if the Torah would be the Torah that he could connect to and to understand and so on. But the loss of Tamimus is the loss of self. And then the boys feel that they have to pretend, they have to make believe. And then at some point, how long can you go on acting, you know? At some point, you fall apart. When things get complicated in life, you could only imitate for so long. And it doesn't work out. This is the chait of Adam Harishon. And therefore, it's the shorish of all, it's the root of all avers. It's the root of all chait. It's this inyan of this death that comes to the innocence of being who you were created to be. That doesn't mean that we have to, of course, control our impulses, and it doesn't mean that you can't imitate good things to try to improve yourself, but yourself, your own upgrade, not to become somebody else, to improve. And we're supposed to, kinasai from the chachmi, you're supposed to admire chashuva people and try to try to learn from other people, and to learn from other people, to try to become a better person, but not to become another person, not to become him, because then you're just imitating, and then the game ends, and then your wife is stuck with who you really are, and she never would have married that guy, or vice versa. She never would have married the guy if she would have known. And there aren't thousands of girls, that women that are sitting thinking, what did I get myself into? Who is this guy? What am I going to do with him? He's like, I got some 35-year-old baby. I don't know what to do with this guy. What am I going to do with him? I'm trying to raise a family, and this guy, and my husband, is struggling with pornography. I'm busy with carpool. I'm busy with homework. And my husband's looking at his phone at pictures of naked ladies. I'm sorry to say. What's going on? This is not all over the place. There isn't a week that I don't have a conversation like this with somebody. And the woman doesn't understand. What is this? I married like the guy who's a top guy, great guy, Ben Tyra, this. Going to learn. We spent the first 4 years in Yerushalayim. And he's just looking at pictures. And she's trying to have a serious life. And she's busy trying to raise children. And spielt mit this and that, all kinds of crazy things. This is the person that I married is dead. That's what it is. The person, b'yom achal chamen mois tomos. The person I married, the guy under the chuppah, That good-looking guy under the chuppah with the hat and the jacket and the suit and the serious look and the whole, that guy's dead. And here's a picture of my husband. And she opened the crack of a door. He's sitting with his phone and the light in his face with his obsession. Here it is. Here's the guy from under the chuppah. A picture. Azehaya davar libeinu elichash chayinim. This is Tisha B'Av. That discovery is Tisha B'Av. But it begins many years earlier. When does the child first eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? When is the first exposure to the snake and that loss of the self? That's what this is about. Ki or elokus nimshach al adam mibifnim achutza. Because the or of elokus is something that's from within the person. And it shines outward, but it begins inside. The Or of Elokus is within the self. Ki Or Elokus nimshach al adam mibifnim hachutza. Mibifnim hachutza. The Or of Elokus. Mitoch nishmas haneshama. Mitoch nishmas haneshama. That's where the person lives. That's where he comes from. Nishmas haneshama. And it comes mitoich, the person, that aura of who the of Elokus comes mitoich nishmas haneshama el haneshama. It comes from the Rebbeinu Shlom who's inside, and that aura of Hakadosh Baruch Hu inside goes to the neshama. You know, it's the nishmas haneshama is Hashem, and the neshama is the person. U'mehan neshama el haruach, my ruach lenefesh, my nefesh leguf. And then in an ideal situation, you're behaving in accordance to your neshama. And your neshama is connected to nishmas and neshama tasham. So that means that your guf, your body, is living a life of kedusha and tahara, of who you are. The nishmas and neshama Hashem speaks to your neshama. Your neshama listens, passes that along to the ruach. The ruach passes that along to the nefesh. The nefesh passes that along to the guf. And you have a tzaddik. Lachen kidei sheyischaber adam im or Hashem. Therefore, in order for the person to be connected to the or Hashem, im makor chayev, tzarich lios kashul in nishmasa. He has to be kashul in nishmasa, to his own neshama. His neshama is what hears from Hashem, and then he's supposed to pass that along until it gets to the guf. But if the person is detached, is far away from the neshama, then the guf is listening to some other voices. What's the goof listening to? Who's listening to? It used to be ABC or CBS or something. Now the goof is, it's much more scary. It's not ABC or CBS. The goof is listening to the snake. And the snake has every generation, and every, now it's not every generation, it's every like 6 months or a year, the snake is mislabish in different levusha. As you know, the snake sheds its skin, and on the skin, sheds its skin. The snake has different levusha. The skin, the snake, has different levusha. But the snake was in 1930, is not this, the way the snake is in 2023, but it's the voice of the snake. So in those years, it was to pull some yeshiva bacha off to communism or something, and whatever, and now it's a different thing. It's not it's different, but it's the snake. Ukshem is not take me atzmai. Hoyshe is not take chalila mashem. And when the person is separated from himself, then he's chalila separated from Hashem. That's what happens. That's the result. Next page, Tom Omeis. Zo ha Yisoid HaGadol Shalim HaSono HaMoral. This is the Yisoid that the Moral is teaching us. That we just learned this, how he explains that the opposite of Tom is Bogeid, which Shlomo Melech said. The opposite of Tamimus is Begida. But you're a traitor to yourself. You're faithless to yourself. Unfaithful, rather, to yourself. I mean, mainly you're unfaithful to everybody else. Because you're pretending. But the first one that you're tricking is yourself. The first one you're unfaithful to is yourself. And then you're unfaithful to this and that. Then you're unfaithful. זהו היסוד הגודל של אימא לסון המורל, ששורש המובס הוא היציא מחוץ לעני העצמי. That the root of death is that leaving oneself, leaving the עני העצמי. התמימוס היא החיבור החי והבורי של אדם לעצמו. תמימוס is that healthy connection that a person has, the living and healthy connection that a person has to oneself. The tiviuso is natural self. Upashtuso. And pshitas, in a very simple way, in a very clear way. It's pashtas. V'hepach ha-tom hu ha-meis. And the opposite of tom is meis. V'zeh ki makor yinikas ha-chaim hi ha-neshama ha-atzmis. Because the makor of life is one's neshama. Ein la tachlif b'shum mekaseim shav chitzoni u'mavri. You cannot substitute the neshama for any or any charismatic, attractive, interesting thing on the outside. You can't. The neshama is the person himself. Hania achutza shikha. This inyan of running outside of oneself. Shikhas haneshama atzmis, forgetting one's own neshama. Va'begidaba and betraying one's own neshama, it's a betrayal. Hein ha-pesach l'mavis. That's the gateway, the entrance into that which is called death, while you're alive. Ha-pesach l'mavis, l'hamotas ha-atzmius. To killing the atzmius. Ha-anius, the ani. Lishtabdus lazar ulenechar, becoming meshubed, becoming enslaved to a stranger. Hatom bareach mehazarlo. The tom, a person who has this midah of tamimus, runs away from strangers, from anything that's not him. Uchedivre emaral, vehepach ze mishakol halichoso, shaloi betamimus, rak betachbulois. The opposite of the tom is a person who doesn't go with tamimus, he goes with all kinds of tachbulos. Tachbulos means all kinds of strategies. All kinds of cheshbainas. Tachbulais. Tricks. Strategies. Everything is a kunz. Everything is a hack, you know. It's not straight. kinds of things. Which is davazar, which is something strange, stranger to him. And the end is from all tachbulas, from all of these strategies and all these games, tachbula, all these tricks, these games is ra, it's bad. Hatachbula chayveles ba'atzmai shel adam. The tachbula, the game, the strategy, the cheshbainas, destroy, injure the atzma shel adam, the person himself. It says that Shlomo says that in order to win a war, the simple pshat in the pasuk is that you have to fight with all kinds of strategy. B'sachbula is tasa l'mechama, and the Sfarim talk about that. When you're fighting against the Yetzer, you have to have all kinds of plans and strategies. That's the simple pshat. Hatachbula marlida is rak melchama, but on a deeper level, b'sachbula is when you live a life of tachbulas, of strategizing, meaning not being honest to yourself and playing the games, that doing that dance. So then the end of it is rak milchama, all kinds of milchamas. Like this husband and wife that are now fighting the whole time. And she's crying. I didn't want to live this kind of life. And he's saying, let me be this. Don't stop being my mashgiach. You're not my Rosh Hashiva. Leave me alone. And she's crying. I don't want to be your Rosh Hashiva. I thought I was marrying an Eilech Yid. And you're not. These fights, my milchamas. It has to bring to a milchama. Because since you were impersonating, you were presenting. Since you were a pretender, so then when things become complicated and you can't pretend anymore, so then the real self comes out, and then there are going to be all kinds of milchamas. Because people thought you were somebody else, and you're not. So now you're at odds with all the people who accepted you for who they thought you were, and you're not. So there's all kinds of milchamas that are going on in your life. Internally, externally. And all of a sudden, guy's a frum guy, all of a sudden, or a woman is a frum woman, all of a sudden she wakes up. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm done with Yiddishkeit. Because the whole thing was a tachbula. He didn't feel that was himself, and she didn't feel that it was herself, the Yiddishkeit, so then it was a whole tachbula. Of course, it is himself. It is herself, but that's not how they felt. They were pretending. So then, all of a sudden, you see people that were from and had raised family. All of a sudden, there's no Yiddishkeit. It's gone. The whole thing, they were pretending. Of course, the Rebbeinu Shlom is inside, and if they would have connected in that way, then they wouldn't chalila go away. So hatachbulas merlidas rak milchama, ubeteisefes tzachus tasa lecha, klamet tasa milchama imatzmecha. So besachbulas, when you're playing these games, tasa lecha milchama, you're at war with yourself. That's a very deep shot. When you're playing these games, besachbulas, then who are you at war with? Yourself. The milchama is against yourself because at the end of the day, it was a self-betrayal. Yeah, it turns out that you're fighting with your wife. It turns out that, whatever, with your friends. But the panemius is that you betrayed yourself. Now you're unfaithful to your wife. You're unfaithful to your parents. You're unfaithful. But the panemius is that it began as being unfaithful to yourself. Tasa l'cha milchama. That's the milchama. Klamet tasa milchama ma'atzmecha. Case now, now we understand what the Maharal is telling us. And what Shlomo HaMelech is saying is the opposite of a tam is a bogade, a traitor. We usually think of the opposite of an innocent or tamimistic, a naive person, as somebody who's very shrewd and conniving and shrewd. Which is true. That's true. But that's only part of the story. The morale gets like he always does. The morale goes right, boom. The morale goes, who's kolea. The morale always is like that. It gets right to the sharush. And the morale says, no, the opposite. All those things are symptoms of a loss of tamimus. a clever character, shrewd. All that is games. Those are symptoms. But the shorish is betrayal. Habogeid. Hatayim hu ha'imun ha'atzmi. Tmimus is trusting in oneself, confidence in oneself, belief in oneself is tmimus. Vahishonus vahishtaichus amuka shel adam l'mashahu. Relying upon and trusting and being connected to mashahu, who you are. L'mashahu. V'ilu ha'bogeid, the traitor, the betrayer, the unfaithful, the faithless, bogeid ba'atzmo. He's bogeid ba'atzmo. B'meshahu. Shorish kol ha'begidas kolon ha'begid ha'atzmis. The root of all faithlessness, whether it comes with Hashem or being unfaithful to your friends or to your spouse, your children, whatever it is, the root of all of that is ha'begidah ha'atzmis, being unfaithful to yourself. Hayiskachashu shel ha'adam l'tivo, denying your own nature, your own teva, who you are. Liyoshro, like Hashem created, elokim osos adam yosha, to that natural, healthy yashus of who you are. L'metziyus ha'kefisha bar Hashem esbarach, and the metziyus that Hashem esbarach, made, that He created. Hatom mole imun ve'emuna, the tom is filled with trust, confidence, and faith. He's a faithful person, full of faith. Because he doesn't look for God and he doesn't look for happiness somewhere else. He finds it within himself. The traitor is empty. He's a vacuum. And he looks for filling that vacuum some way outside of himself. Food, girls, guys, stuff, excitement, entertainment. He's trying to fill himself outside of himself. Der tachbulo is chayvlim cheshbonis rabim. Hepech mashahu. Hepech hayoyshev ha'musa aleim hutbu adne ishiyusav atzmiyusav. He's the opposite of the natural yashvus and the natural teva that are the foundations of his personality, of his character, of who he is. And the beginning of all of this is the Cheta Kadmoni. You remember that in the beginning of Baal Yisra, so Aaron had a Chalisha Sadas, right? Rashi brings down, the Nesim were bringing all kinds of, all the gifts, the Agolas and the offerings, and Aaron the Kohen is like, here he is, the Kohen Gadol Aaron, and he, I didn't do what I was. So Hashem Yisbarach said to him, Shalcha gedoyla mishalahem. I'm giving you the candles every day. Your job is the candles to clean up, to fix the wicks and arrange the candles and to light the candles. That's your job. So the Ramban, others, you know, they excited. He's talking about also Chanukah. So Chanukah is over here. We lay in this Chanukah. It's all Chanukah tick over here. Candles. But the simplest pshat. I was talking a little bit yesterday to the women we were together by. We had this little, my wife and I, this coffee conversation. The simplest pshat is that Hashem was saying to Aaron, Rabbi Aaron, that stuff is not you. That's not your union in this world is to fix Jews and light them, you know, to. It's the everyday what you do. You don't. Your union is not the big, grand event. Your job is to go running after people saying, you know, your wife is really, she misses you so much. You know, you had a fight. She told me she misses you, like he used to do, right? So it's not glamorous. Aaron didn't have, like, Hashem was saying, but this is who you are. Your union in this world is to fix candles. Like the Lubavitch goes back from the Rebbe. I think it was already from the Rashab or the Rayatz. I don't remember. No, it could be the Rebbe Maharash first said it. That to be lamplighters, right? That's your job. Aaron, you're looking for something. What are you looking for? Something else you want? That's their inyan. But you, Aaron, this is your inyan. Is no one is watching, quiet, still. You go in your own way and fix candles. So that's where you're going to find your oisha. That's your simcha. That's your inyan in this world, is to light candles, is to help people, that's your inyan. I don't want you to make something in Madison Square Garden. It's not your Indian. This is shalcha gedolah mishalahem. The Mishnah was saying that what I'm giving you is much bigger than that. It's a much bigger thing than that. The ikur is shalcha. Every one of us has to know shalcha, that what I gave you, your own personality, your own traits, your own family, your own neshama is gedolah mishalahem, is greater than anybody else's that you would try to imitate. Not that you're better than other people. That's no, but for you, this is what fits you. Shalcha gedolah mishalahem. Don't try to be shalahem. Shalcha, the only gedulah you're going to find in your life, if it's shalcha. Shalcha, what's you, who you are, is gedolah mishalahem. Lahagid shvachal shel Aaron shawat shalom shina. The greatness of Aaron was he didn't change. So everybody's asking the pshat and pasuk. Vayas ken Aaron. Aaron did what Hashem told him. Lahagid shvachal shel Aaron shalom shina. This is the greatest praise you could say to Aaron, that he didn't change. So that everybody's asking that he didn't go against Hashem. That's like that's the greatness of Aaron. If Hashem would speak to me personally like that, I also would be a good boy. So Lahagi Shvachal and Shalashina. So all the Svarim said the same thing. No, the greatness of Aaron was that he always remained Aaron. Shalashina. He didn't change. He didn't make himself into something else. He was the same Aaron. The same Aaron in Mitzrayim. The same Aaron. His whole life he was Shalashina. This is Aaron. And this is Aaron. And Aaron is the Or Nun is that light of the Chamishim Shari Bina of Aaron. Who, you find that only inside of yourself. Shalcha gedolah mishalahem. We should be zeichet to find each one of us that or. Yeah. Yeah.